Is John chapter 14, verse 15 through 21. I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition of the Bible. It says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever.
All right.
This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you.
Glory.
I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father,
and I
will love them and reveal myself to them." God's word for God's people. For a few moments this Mother's Day, I want to preach from the subject, the opposite of orphaned. The opposite of orphaned. Going to the dictionary to look up the word orphan is a depressing exercise. Dictionary.com has several definitions for the word, and none of them are uplifting or joyful. Here's the first three. A child who has lost both parents through death, or less commonly, one parent. Second definition, a young animal that has been deserted by or has lost its mother. Third definition, a person or thing that is without protective affiliation, sponsorship, or something else. Then I thought perhaps the etymology or the origin of the word might yield a little less harsh definition. Well, it's this. The term orphan originates from the ancient Greek word orphanos, which literally means deprived or bereft. Historically, it described anyone who had lost a protector or provider, ranging from fatherless children to students who had lost their teacher. Well, that's a little better, but loss is loss. No matter how one sugarcoats it. I mean, no one wants to be an orphan. No one would wish being orphaned on their worst enemy, I don't think. But yet, when one experiences the loss of their protection, their providers, or their parents, we sympathize with their now being considered orphans. You might ask why I may be bringing up the notion of being orphaned on a day like today. Mother's Day.
Yeah.
This is a day that we're supposed to be highlighting the wonderful qualities of mothers and the love we have for them, whether they're in the land of the living or whether they are enjoying the afterlife with the Lord. According to history.com, the modern Mother's Day holiday was established in the United States by Anna Jarvis in the early 20th century, following the death of her mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis. In 1905, Anna campaigned for a day to honor the sacrifices mothers made for their children. She organized the first official Mother's Day service on May 10th, 1908 at a Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. So a Methodist woman who was orphaned by the passing of her mother is the reason why we have a national Mother's Day celebration on the second Sunday in May. How interesting. In our text today, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is speaking. He's telling them about the coming Holy Spirit, which we'll celebrate at Pentecost later this month. He's making a promise to them of this future occurrence, knowing how bad being orphaned was perceived then and its effects now. He assures his followers that in verse 18, I will not leave you orphaned. Let me give you some background here. Chapter 14 of John's gospel begins with Jesus telling them that he was soon not going to be with them any longer, but was going to the Father in heaven and would be preparing their forever dwelling places for their arrival. Jesus would soon not be with them in the flesh. He knew that soon he'd be betrayed, arrested, and abandoned by the very ones he was speaking to. But after the physical departure of Jesus, would his followers be left deserted? Our text today, the present section of the last discourse of Jesus with his disciples, gives the threefold promise of divine presence. The Father will send another paraclete, the Spirit of truth, i.e. the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself will be with them and reveal himself to them, and Jesus and the Father will come to anyone who loves him and will make their home with him. Again, he settles the worries of his ragtag group of handpicked disciples who had left family, friends, and industry to follow Jesus along the countryside, going from town to town, spreading a new message of salvation for 3 years with the assurance that he wouldn't be leaving them orphaned.
Glory.
Out on their own with nothing or no one to care for them or cover them. In fact, Jesus' followers and us, his followers today, can experience the opposite of being orphaned. Here's how that promise is defined and manifested. First of all, if you're following in your bulletins, we are parented. We are parented. Parented means a child with parents. Jesus promises in verse 18 that they won't be orphaned, which means he's going to leave them and us with parents. But how is that? Many of us have gone through the painful process of saying farewell to a mother or father for the last time before the casket is closed and or lowered into the earth. Yes, we look forward to seeing them again when we get to heaven. We, as long as we have memories of them and cherish the lessons they taught us, they are, of course, always with us. But while we are living our lives without them, many of us are technically, the way the dictionary defines it, orphans. So what is Jesus talking about? Who's our parents now? Who are we to look to in our present existence as our parents when we know that one or both of them is gone from this physical existence? Yeah. Jesus says in the second half of verse 18 of our text today that he's not going to leave us orphaned. He said, I am coming to you. Some of us aren't able to be with one or more of our parents today. But Jesus says that doesn't make you an orphan. Why? Because he says, I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
And when Jesus says, I am, we ought to sit up straight and pay attention. When Jesus says, I am, we ought to take him at his word. Oh, when Jesus says, I am, when we can't find comfort in no place else, we can find comfort when Jesus says, I am. We can find strength when Jesus says, I am. Our tear-filled eyes can be wiped away when Jesus says, I am. We ain't supposed to be all depressed because Jesus says, I am. We're not orphaned because our Lord and Savior has promised that we are parented by him. Days like this may fill some of us with real sadness, but he promised that he's coming to us. Days like this may fill some of us with real longing, but he promised that he's coming to us. Days like this may fill some of us with complicated feelings, but he promised that he's coming to us. And his type of parenting is just the type we need. He offers us a secure, loving environment through active presence, consistent discipline, and open communications. Oh, I'm glad today that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did not leave us orphaned, but parents us with the love and care that we desperately need. Well, second of all, we are adopted/fostered. We are adopted or fostered. Amen. Someone who is adopted or fostered is a child with legal guardians. What little I know about the adoption or fostering process is that there are no accidental adoptions. People are not out and about doing their regular day's business and accidentally adopt a child. I mean, I've never heard anyone say, oops, I accidentally became a foster parent. Adoptive parents choose to adopt children. They open their homes, their hearts, and wallets to children they didn't give birth to and treat them just as if they did give birth to them. According to AdoptUSKids.org, adoption in Kansas requires prospective parents to be at least 18 or 21 years old, depending on the agency, complete a 10-week MAPP training, pass background checks, and complete a home study. In addition, applicants must be 10 years older than the child, and they may be single or married. The process focuses on a stable, safe home provided for the child. That's a lot. So when someone tries to tease you and say that you are adopted, don't cry. Amen. Those bullies don't understand that your parents chose you, that you weren't a mistake or an accident. Instead of being orphaned, our Lord Jesus Christ provides for us to be adopted or fostered. He says, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. We're not left out there all on our own wondering where mama or daddy are, for we've been adopted by the one who came, by the one who bled, by the one who died and rose again just for us. We are not orphaned. We've been adopted. And now we have a new relationship, not hindered by our sin and shame. As it says in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. God. Our prayers aren't blocked, and we don't need an intermediary, or a letter of recommendation. We have forgiveness and protection. Our past debts or sins have been canceled.
Yes, yes.
And we can receive security of our loving Father who offers protection and divine discipline. Oh, I'm glad today that our Savior didn't leave us orphaned, but instead offers us adoption as sons and daughters. Whether our earthly mothers or fathers are alive and in the picture or not. Well, last of all, we've been made an heir. We've been made an heir.
Yes.
Jesus makes it clear that we've been given something that orphans don't typically get.
Right.
We get something that those who have been abandoned don't typically get. We get something that those who have been kicked to the curb don't typically get. Because of Jesus's once perfect sacrifice made on our behalf on Calvary's cross, we've been made an heir. We are children with parents from whom we inherit, but not typical parents, and not a typical inheritance. No, we have an eternal inheritance. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We have an eternal inheritance in that believers are considered co-heirs with Christ, inheriting the kingdom of God, including a new resurrected body and the new heaven and new earth. Jesus says that he won't leave us orphaned. And what's the opposite of being orphaned? It's someone who is an heir, someone who has an inheritance. In verse 21, Jesus gives his disciples gathered there and us gathered here a glimpse of what our inheritance looks like. Scholars tell us that so close is the spiritual union between Christ and believers that he compares it with the mutual indwelling of the Father and the Son. Can you imagine the love we have for our Savior is returned by our Heavenly Father? What we get as heirs is better than cash. What we get as heirs is better than real estate. It's better than stocks. It's better than personal property. And we have to wait until someone passes away to get our hands on, and then perhaps wait out the probate process, even if the person has a last will and testament. No, we get to live with the benefits of our inheritance right now, right here, and right when we need it the most. Jesus says that he wouldn't leave his followers orphaned, that he's coming to us. He's dwelling in us, and we are dwelling in him. Oh, what joy it is to know that we are not orphaned. What joy it is to know that because our Savior lives, we have life too. What joy it is that because he lives, we have a place in the love of our God in heaven. Because Jesus says so, we are the opposite of being orphaned. We are family raised. God has made it his business to allow us to live in him. Oh, because Jesus promised it, we are the opposite of being orphaned. Because Jesus promised it, we are legitimate. Oh, because Jesus promised it, we are authentic. We are valid. We are legal. Because of Jesus' sacrifice and victory over over sin, we find ourselves in accordance with God's established rules, principles, and standards. That makes us the opposite of being orphaned. So, beloved, let us rejoice this Mother's Day and every day that follows in the fact that we're not orphaned. In fact, we're the opposite of orphaned. We're parented. We're adopted. And we are an heir of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. Amen.